And then stand with me if it's not a hindrance to you as we'll read together verses 46 through verse number 52 about this blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus. The Bible says here in verse number 46 of Mark's Gospel chapter number 10, and as they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho and his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard it, that was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Many of them charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of comfort, arise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, arose, came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou have me to do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we rejoice in the goodness of God. Thank you for the beautiful day. Lord, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for the choir singing and the special music. We now thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of these young people. And we pray that you'd guide and direct them, strengthen them in the inner man, help them to stand, having done all, stand in the evil day. Now, Father, I pray for the message, truly, that it might fall on receptive ears. Lord, open the hearts and minds of the people here today. And Father, that you'd suit us a blessing. Save that one that may be lost and undone without Christ. Reclaim that one that's walking a cold and a different. Lord, that one today whose heart has grown cold on God. Revive that one, we pray. And all that you do, we'll be careful to praise you and give thee the glory and the honor. For it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. And for his sake we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you, beloved, and you may be seated. Keeping your Bibles open to Mark's Gospel and chapter number 10. Notice, if you would please, here, as we read in verse number 46, the Bible said that Jesus was passing through Jericho for the last time. Here the Lord Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and to the cross. In a few hours, he would sit at the table of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It won't be long until he sits in the upper room. It won't be long until he prays in the garden. It won't be long before he is tried before a mock court. It won't be long before he's whipped and beaten. It won't be long before he's crucified to a Roman cross. He's going through Jericho for the last time. As he enters into Jericho, great crowds began to throng him. They began to follow him. His fame is spread throughout of all Palestine. Here is the one, the people say, that has opened the eyes of the blind. He's opened the ears of the deaf. He is the one that has healed the sick, raised the dead, calmed the storm, and walked on the water. This is Jesus of Nazareth. And as he comes through Jericho, the Bible said, a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus hears about the Lord and cries out for mercy. May I say to you today, beloved, if you're here under the sound of my voice, that you may be a blind man today, blind spiritually to the things of God. The only thing that you and I ever can do is cry out to the Lord. I'm glad for the day that I cried out unto him. I'm glad for the day he passed by my way and he heard my cry and he saved my soul. Aren't you glad for the day that the Lord touched you and opened the eyes of the blind? Old John Newton could write as he said about amazing grace, how sweet the sound found that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I can see. And thank God for that. But now notice, if you would, this morning about this blind beggar man by the name of Bartimaeus. Would you notice, first of all, in the verses we've read, I want you to see the condition of this man. What was he like? What was this blind man? What kind of attributes did he have? First of all, we find that indeed he was blind. He was blind to the physical things of this world. Can you imagine, beloved, not being able to see the light of day, not being able to enjoy the bright sunshine, the wonderful flowers, the beautiful colors of the rainbow? Oh, can you imagine, beloved, living in a world of darkness? Possibly he was born to where he could see and went blind. They tell me in Bible times it was common that many people were blind. Blindness was a disease, an illness that was afflicted many people. Unlike perhaps the man in John chapter number 9 that was born blind from birth. Perhaps Bartimaeus was a man that was born that could see and then went blind. But beloved, here he was in total darkness. He was without any help. He had no way of income except sitting by the roadside and begging. All he had to do, my friend, was have a little cup, and if people would pass by, he'd perhaps cry out, "Alms for the poor. Would you please give? I need a little bit of money." And all he could do was beg for a little bit of money. He was blind. He had no way to work. Probably somebody had to lead him around. He had no seeing eye dog. He had no braille. He had no means of the day as people have today to function as a blind person. But he was helpless. But then second of all, he was blind spiritually. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean blind spiritually?" He was lost and blind to the saving grace of God. Oh, but he's not alone. Every man that's ever been born in this world, everybody in this room today has been born blind. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." There are folk today that are blind spiritually. They'll try everything under the sun, join everything they can, put their name on the church roll, go down into some water baptism, be sprinkled, they'll take of the Lord's Supper, they'll do everything under the sun. But yet, beloved, all of that is in vain unless you know the Savior. As the young people said this morning, as Brother Keith said, beloved, listen, all that matters in this world is that you come to Christ and you know him in the free part of sin. Oh, Satan has blinded the minds of many people today. There are those countless numbers that are walk through this world and they'll die lost and go to a devil's hell simply because their minds have been blinded. Somebody has told them all you have to do is kiss somebody's ring, crawl up some stairs, bow before a statue, eat a piece of bread, go down into the water, and they believe that, my friend, and they're lost without God. As this man was, he was blind spiritually. Oh, listen, beloved, if you're here today and you cannot say for certain that you know Christ in the free pardon of sin, if you don't know your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you can't say that when I breathe my last breath, I'm going to be ushered to the presence of God, you've been blinded to the things of the Lord. But then notice, he was begging. Here he was, this blind man, blind to the things of this world, blind to the spiritual things, but he was begging. The Bible said there he sat by the roadside, perhaps had a little cup in his hand, perhaps just had a blanket or something, and people would walk by, and they would toss him a coin, they would throw down some money, and he was the only way that he could have any kind of a living, was what people would give to him. The only means of income was to sit by the roadside and beg. Beloved, listen, in Bible times, it was a shame, it was a disgrace for a man to sit and beg for money. Beloved, let me tell you something today. I believe by the grace of God that people that are without Jesus Christ, they are beggars. Oh, listen, you say, what do you mean, preacher? Beloved, sin will make you a beggar. It'll take the food off of your table. It'll disgrace you. It'll make you a robber. It'll make you a thief. Sin, my friend, will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, he learned what sin could do. The Bible said that his father gave him his share of the inheritance. He went out into the far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. The Bible said that when he returned home, the elder brother accused him of living with harlots. Beloved, let me tell you something. Sin will take you down that road and strip you of everything that's decent and holy and right. Oh, my friend, listen to me this morning. Sin is a robber. Sin is a disgrace. And oh, this man here, the sin had caused him to be in want. Sin had taken the food off his table. Sin will rob you of everything that you've got. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden learned that when they had everything in this world they could ask for. They had everything that God could provide for them, and yet they were not satisfied. One day the devil said to them, if you'll but eat of the fruit of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be opened and you'll be just like God. And so they were tempted, took of the fruit and ate of that fruit. And because of their sin, we're plunged into sin today. The Bible said, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Beloved, listen, we're all sinners, born into sin, birthed into this world with a curse on our head. Oh, but thank God for the Lord Jesus that came down from the portals of glory, condescended, slipped upon off the shoes of the regal palaces of God, put upon him the form of a servant, humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, went to Calvary and died in our place, shed his precious blood, so that you and I could be adopted into the family of God, no longer beggars, no longer poor, but thank God I'm rich in eternity. Because of the riches of Christ, I have been adopted into his family. What a blessing that is. I'm saved. I know I'm saved, and I'm a heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And oh, you say, preacher, I've got a lot of money in this world. You may have a lot of wealth. You may have a lot of riches. You may be able to write a check and put a one, just say, fill in the zero. Friend, let me tell you something. Even though you may have wealth untold, you may have the money like a Donald Trump or a Bill Gates, you may have wealth running out your ears. Friend, if you don't have Jesus, you're a poor, blind beggar on your way to hell. Oh, the Bible said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Turn back there just a minute. I want to show you something. You got your Bibles open there. Turn back, please, just a couple of pages if you do. And the Bible said, look what the Lord said. Oh, look, let's go back in verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? I'll tell you what some people are giving today. They're giving a dollar bill. They're exchanging their eternal soul for a bit of money. There are some folk today, my friend, that will sell their eternal soul for just a mess of pottage, for just a little bit of silver, for just a little bit of gold. They'll sell their soul to the devil. You say, preacher, what do you mean? When it comes time to choosing between God and Satan, between the church, they'll choose the world. Beloved, listen, I'd rather be poor as a pauper. I'd rather be down on Skid Row without a penny to my name and know Jesus as my personal Savior than have all the wealth and all the riches and all the diamonds in the world. For friend, you'll not be able to take a dime with you when you leave out. They don't make coffins with pockets and caskets with boxes in them. You won't be able to take a dime with you. So you better enjoy it while you can. Amen? Amen? I remember reading about this couple. They had written a will out, and their grandchildren, it came time for them to read the will. And so they gathered everybody in the lawyer's office, and they set them down there. And so here their mom and dad was gone, and all the kids sitting around, they were probably thinking themselves, wondering what I'm going to get, how much I'm going to have. They'd already spending that money. And the old lawyer got that will out, and he said, as he began to read it, I, so-and-so, being in good health and sound mind, I spent it all. Amen. Spent it all. You might as well enjoy it while you're here, because you're not going to take a dime with you. And beloved, the man or the woman that lays up treasures on this earth will have your reward here. But for the child of God that loves the Lord and serves Him and wins souls to Christ, great is his reward. Oh, the Bible said, for what shall it profit a man that he gain the entire world and lose his own soul? Now look back in Mark chapter 10. I want you to see something here. And here that blind beggar man by the name of Bartimaeus, he heard that Jesus was passing through Jericho. Jericho, the place of the curse. This is the last time that Jesus would pass through here. This is the last time he'd come through this direction. He would not have another opportunity to see Jesus or meet Jesus. This is the last time. Brother, let me tell you something. You may be here. It may be the last service you ever sit in. It may be the last time you ever hear a gospel message preached. It may be the last time you ever hear the choir sing. It may be the last time that the congregation gives an invitation just as I am. It may be the last time a preacher will stand and proclaim God's precious word and invite you to come forward. It may be the last time. Death is on your doorstep. Jeremiah said death has come up into our windows. It seeks out its next victim. It's peering into your room, into your home. It goes down the roadside. It looks for its next victim. You read in the papers every day about somebody going out into eternity. Somebody perhaps you even know, family members and workers and co-workers alike, and they dying and going out into eternity. This was the last time old Bartimaeus would have an opportunity. And notice what he did. Notice what the Bible said in verse 47. He began to cry out. He began to cry out. And he said, "Oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now, I want you to see something. There were two times he cried out in verse 47. And then in verse 51. Oh, listen. He cried out the second time. Look in verse 47 and verse 48. And the second time, many of them charged that he should hold his peace. But he cried a great deal and he said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Mercy, I need mercy." And he cried out to God. Now watch something. In verse 47, the Greek word that's given there for cry is the word shout or cried out. He just cried and said, "Thou son of David." He tried to get the Lord's attention. But when the crowd in verse 48 said, "Listen, hold your peace. Don't you bother him. Just be quiet." He cried the more. In verse 48, that word there when he cried in the Greek means to croak, to scream, to cry out in a desperate screech. To the top of his lungs, he summoned every bit of wind that he could. And with all the might, he cried out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." He was in desperation. I believe a lot of people never get saved because they never see themselves on their way to hell. A lot of folk today never trust Christ because they don't see their urgency of the matter. They always think they're going to have another chance, another opportunity. They think that there'll be another day. They think there'll be another time. They think it'll always be another opportunity. Friend, listen, you don't have but so many chances to get saved. I believe that. as the Lord passed through here, this was the last time. Brother, listen, if God has passed you away and knocked on your heart's door, he's pulled your heartstrings, you sit there under Bible conviction, you feel like you're going to bust from the inside out, and you tell yourself, if I can just get out of this church, if I can just get out of here, I'll feel better, I'll be all right. And the Holy Ghost of God has gripped your heart and pleaded with your soul. Today is the day of salvation. Let me tell you something. It may be the very last opportunity that you get. You're not always guaranteed another chance. You're not always guaranteed another opportunity. A lot of folk today think, well, listen, I'll get saved when I want to get saved. No, sir, you won't. You'll get saved when God's Holy Spirit deals with the heart, brings you under Holy Ghost conviction, and pleads with you and drags you and ushers you down the aisle and says, listen, today you need to get saved, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Today is the day of salvation. To linger would have meant for him no chance at all. I want to show you something. He cried out to the Lord. He cried out for mercy. And brother, listen, that's what all of us need to do. Say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on a sinner like me and save me. But then notice something here. Look at verse number 48. As the Bible said there, as he cried out to him, Jesus stood still and called and commanded that he be brought to him. And they brought the blind man in verse 49. And here in verse number 50, and he casting away his garment arose and came to Jesus. Watch that in verse 50. Now, this garment that he had on, what was it like? It was his covering by day, and it was his bed by night. It was a long cloak that would stretch from his neck all the way down. It was not made for walking. It was not made for running. It was made to be a covering. And as that old blind man would sit there by the roadside, he'd take that old cloak and lay it out, and people would come by and throw money down on it. But here when he met Jesus, oh, what a difference. For here the Bible said that when he got up, he took that cloak and pulled it away from him and cast it aside. More than likely, they tell me in Bible days that he probably had found that from the trash. He didn't have any money to buy it, but probably he found it in the trash heap somewhere. Somebody else had thrown it away, but it was the only thing that was worth anything to him. For the only thing he had of value was this covering that he had upon him. But he said, I'm not going to need it any longer. And he took the cloak and threw it to the side. That cloak that would hinder him from running to Jesus and finding the Lord. The thing that would hold him down and would hinder him in his newfound life. He said, I'm going to get rid of it. And that's exactly what God says to us today. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. I've never been much of an athlete. I've never run in a marathon. I know I'm somewhat of an athlete. I had athlete's foot one time, so I know I'm an athlete, amen? But I've never run a race. I've never got out yonder and throwed the discus. I've never competed on the athletic field. But they tell me that if you are an athlete, the way that you train is you strap them weights around your ankles and strap weights around your arms so that you train with the weights, so that you get used to the weights. But then when it comes day of performance, when it comes the time to get out in the arena, when it comes time to get on the playing field, you take the weights and you lay them to the side, because now your body has been conditioned. It knows what it's like to have the weights. But now when you drop the weights, you can run faster. You can jump higher. You can be more competitive without the weights. And Hebrews says, for the child of God, it's time to lay the weights aside. Now, what do you say? What are the weights? Anything that would hold you down as a Christian. Listen to me. Some of you sitting in this room this morning, thank God for these young people. Some of you, as has already been said, they said, I want to lay aside the weights. The music that may hinder my Christian walk, the books, the magazines, or whatever. Brother, let me tell you something. Is it oftentimes you and I, as God's people, we may look around and say, I don't drink, I don't do this, I don't run around, and I don't go to the bars, and so I'm a pretty good Joe. And my friend, listen, it's not necessarily the sin that hinders your life and hinders your walk with Christ, but it's the little things, the weights, that would hinder your walk and your step and your live for God. And my friend, if you would lay those things aside, not necessarily just the sin, but the weights that's holding you down. You know what they are. The habits of life that right now God's pulling a spotlight on and searching your hearts, and all of a sudden, if you're in your soul, you're trying to justify those actions. In your heart, you're trying to say, it's not so bad. It's okay. It's all right. That magazine or that book or whatever else, if you're trying to justify that in the eyes of God, lay aside the weights and run with patience the race that's set before us. For friend, you don't have much time left. I believe God's getting ready to pull the curtain down. Amen. How many of you believe He's coming back? Amen. He's coming back. And when He comes, will they find faith on this earth? When He comes, will they find the Christian doing what they ought to be doing? But then my time is just about gone this morning. But notice something here as we come to the conclusion. Look in verse number 52. I like this. Jesus said in verse number 51, Jesus said, what will I have? What would you have me to do? That seemed like a foolish question, doesn't it? But the Lord wanted him to say, I want my eyesight. I want to be able to see. I want to be able to look. I want to see the beauty of day. I want to see the face of my mother and my dad. I want to see the ray of sunshine. I felt its warmth on my face. I want to see. Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now watch what Christ did for him in verse 52. Immediately he received his sight. Oh, his eyes were opened, and the light of day shone in. Oh, listen, beloved, do you remember the day? How many of you remember the day that Jesus shone the glorious light of the gospel into your soul? You remember the day where you were? I remember the day and the hour and the place that where I was when the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus was shining to me. And I said, yes to the Lord. What would you have me to do? I said, I want to receive my sight. I want to see through these spiritual eyes. And thank God for the sight that I have now. For the sight that I have now is far beyond this world. Amen. It goes beyond the stars and the planets. I'm looking for the day. I'm listening for the sound. And thank God for that morning. That resurrection morning that's coming for the child of God. When all you and I will drop the robe of flesh and we'll rise and seize the everlasting prize. And hallelujah shout while we pass through this old air. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. I'm looking for the day and listening for the sound when the Lord comes back for His church. And I'll be a part of that. I've got that spiritual sight. One of these days I'm going beyond the stars and the planets, beyond the Milky Way, beyond the moon. I'm going somewhere beyond the blue. My home is not this world. I'm only a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels, they beckon me from heaven's golden shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world isn't my home. It's only a temporary abode. This body you see in front of me, in front of you, as Brother James so graciously reminded all of us that we're getting older. Some of you may, but I'm not. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, preacher, you're getting older. Oh, listen, this old body, this tabernacle of clay might be. These eyes are getting weaker. And this hearing is starting to go. I like what old Buddy Robinson said one time. Old Buddy, a tongue-tied Nazarene preacher. One time his hearing began to go. And they sent him to the doctor. And they said, they examined him. He said, Doc, he said, I can hear okay out of that right ear, but I can't hear nothing out of that left ear. The doctor examined him, and he come back and said, buddy, I want to tell you something. It's nothing but old age. He said, Doc, I don't quite understand that. He said, I can hear okay out of this ear. I can't hear a thing out of this ear, and they were both born at the same time.
old buddy one time. He was in the hospital. He'd lay down in the hospital, and the doctor came in, and he said, buddy, I'm gonna give you some medicine. I'm gonna prescribe some medicine to you. And he said it's gonna cost you $5. He said, say it again, and he said, say it again in this ear right here. He said, buddy, that medicine's gonna cost you $10. He said, say it one more time in this $5 ear, would you please? Brother, let me tell you something. As you live in this world and these bodies get weaker, and listen, you may not be able to see and hear and go like you used to, but I got news for you. I'm headed to the celestial city of God. One day I'll breathe my last breath of this air, but I'll breathe my first breath of celestial air. I'll walk on the streets of glory. I'll fellowship with the saints of God. I'll sit down with mom and dad, and thank God I'll see the face of him that loved me and gave himself for me, that went to Calvary and died in my place, and be able to bow in his presence and say, thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me.